Well, good morning. I am Pastor Brendan. I'm the Family Life Pastor here. So I'm in charge of kids, elementary. Mary Jo oversees our preschool and nursery. And so we brought our elementary kids in here today. If you're in elementary, go whoop whoop! One of you has been in elementary way too long. But that's okay. That's all right. Today we do have our family service, and we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to talk about focus today. But real quick, I wanted to share something with you. Pastor John mentioned about Wednesday night classes. The kids ministry has changed what we do on Wednesday nights a little bit. We used to just have, actually a whole lot, we used to have classes just constantly, and they were probably a little bit more like a junior youth group kind of feel. We've changed that up because we really want to work harder at discipling our kids and teaching them a little bit more in-depth about the Bible. And so if you're a parent that has been looking for that, that's what we're doing on Wednesday nights. We're doing it by topics. It's not going constantly. As Pastor John mentioned, we have 4 weeks coming up. Take a little break, then we'll have 4 weeks. And we're kind of doing that throughout the year. And so we're picking certain topics that we really want to focus on with the kids. It's more of a classroom setting, so I don't know if they'll like that as much. But it's something we feel is very important, very vital, and we want to do that. So the thing is, we ask that you register for those classes so we kind of know what rooms we can be in and all of that. So this one coming up, we've got one with the younger kids, Heaven is for Real. They're going to talk about quite a bit of exciting things in there. And then we got eLife, where we're going to teach kids how to share their faith with those around them. And so it's going to be exciting. It's going to be good. And I would encourage you to register your elementary and three-year-old up to kindergarten for those two classes. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if it's not, you'll get your money back. It's free, in case you're wondering. So, all right. So like I said, today we're going to talk about focus. And I'm going to start off, I got a couple of volunteers that are going to help me. So if you gentlemen could come up and help me. Here they come. Give them a big hand. Now, you guys have been training for this for months, right? Oh, okay. We'll see how it goes then. All right, I'm going to have you introduce yourself and tell us your favorite food. Are you ready?
Caleb, my favorite food is pizza.
Caleb and his favorite food is pizza. Good job. Pizza's good stuff. All right, Braden, tell us your name.
You just said it.
I know, but go ahead, Braden. Tell us your name.
Braden and cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers. All right. You know they have cheeseburger pizza now. You guys mix and never mind. Okay. All right, so I'm going to have these guys help us learn a little bit about focus today. So I want you guys can stay where you were. I got to grab this board over here. This is also in case anyone falls asleep. All right, why don't you back up just a little bit, Braden? We got to be in the exact center. That's not true. I just made that up. Okay. All right, you got this board. Now, these gentlemen are going to show us focus. Don't do anything just yet, okay? This is a dangerous trick because if they fall off the board, I mean, they're going to fall at least this far. And so we got to be really careful, okay? So, Caleb, are you ready? I'm going to have you walk across the board, but I want you to stare at me or the end of the board as you do it. Are you ready? Can you do this? Go for it. Doing good, doing good, doing good. Staring at the end of the board. Awesome job. Give him a big hand. All right. You had to think about giving me five, didn't you? Okay. All right, Braden, let's see if you can do it. Focus. All right, focus on what's happening. All right, good job. Give him a big hand. You guys go back down to the end again. Now, if you are a kid or a kid at heart, I want you to raise your hand. What's with the rest of you? Okay, anyway, here's what I want all of our kids and kids at heart to do. I want you to make as much noise as possible. You can call out their names, Caleb, Braden, when they're going across, whatever you want to do, but I want you to make a lot of noise. Try to distract them, okay? Are you guys ready? So if you're distracted, let's see how this goes. All right, go ahead and start making your noise. Caleb, go ahead. Not too bad. All right, Braden, give it a shot. Whoa. Whoa. Oh, he's falling off. Oh, man. Good job, though. Good job. Okay. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Don't go anywhere yet. All right, Caleb, you got all the way across both tries. Which was easier, when you were focused or when all the noise was going on?
When I was focused.
When you were focused was easier. Braden, what do you think?
Neither.
Neither was easy. Thank you for your help. All right, give me five, guys. Give them a big hand. That's why you always pick two. You get at least 50% to answer correctly. All right. Now, they did an awesome job. Thanks, gentlemen. Yeah, focus. It's one of those things that I know I have a hard time with, and hopefully you don't. But what we're going to talk about today is, I think, is very important and something that we should all maybe keep in mind as we go through our daily lives. First, let's pray, and then we'll get on with it today. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. I thank you that there's no rain outside. I pray, Lord, that our picnic will be a fun time, but not only a fun time, a time where we grow together as a church. I pray, Lord, this will be a time where we meet new people. I pray, Lord, this will even be a time that people maybe visiting church will go out to that picnic and find friends there. And I pray, Lord, this will just be a great time together. But today I also pray as we talk about focus, Lord, you'll help us to focus on you, to focus on what the mission is that we're going to talk about today, Lord. It's your name I pray. Amen. All right. I really love history, just a lot. I don't want to say study because that implies I read a ton of it, but I really like history, especially if they put it on TV. That's much easier to consume. But we took Mackenzie to college last week, week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And on the way back, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about something that just really got to me a little bit. And so first, though, before we do that, I want to show you a video that's going to get us started today.
We meet in an hour of change and challenge, in a decade of hope and fear, in an age of both knowledge and ignorance. The greater our knowledge increases, the greater our ignorance unfolds. No man can fully grasp how far and how fast we have come. But condense, if you will, the 50,000 years of man's recorded history in a time span of but a half a century. Stated in these terms, we know very little about the first 40 years. Except at the end of them, advanced man had learned to use the skins of animals to cover them. Then about 10 years ago, under this standard, man emerged from his caves to construct other kinds of shelter. Only 5 years ago, man learned to write and use a cart with wheels. Christianity began less than 2 years ago. The printing press came this year. And then, less than 2 months ago, during this whole 50-year span of human history, the steam engine provided a new source of power. Newton explored the meaning of gravity. Last month, electric lights and telephones and automobiles and airplanes became available. Only last week did we develop penicillin and television and nuclear power. This is a breathtaking pace, and such a pace cannot help but create new ills as it dispels old. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. If this capsule history of our progress teaches us anything, it is that man in his quest for knowledge and progress is determined and cannot be deterred. We shall send to the moon, 240,000 miles away, a giant rocket more than 300 feet tall on an untried mission to an unknown celestial body and then return it safely to Earth. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked.
All right, this is obviously a very famous speech. It's from 1961. This is coming at a pivotal time in the United States. There were a couple of negatives that had just happened. Big ones, Bay of Pigs, Sputnik, which means the Russians got to space first. So the United States was feeling like it was falling behind in a couple things. So I think they felt like it was a little bit of a rough patch, and they wanted to rise to the occasion and, you know, kind of get their name stamped. And so Kennedy decided that the U.S. should go to the moon. All right, why the moon? Well, because he said so, right? And so they decided to go to the moon. And so I listened to this podcast, and just some incredible things came out, things I never even thought about. This gentleman, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he had studied this. He had talked to people that were a part of the program during this time and just had it seemed like a really incredible grasp of what was happening with America's space program at this time. So Kennedy gives this speech in 1961, says we're going to go to the moon. The day after the speech, there were conversations around NASA and other places, and they were talking about whether or not the human brain could work in space properly, because they didn't know. They had no idea exactly what the effects of space would have on a human. They weren't sure what, you know, what it would do to the body, to the brain, to their thought process, all of that. That's how little they knew, because no one had been there. They just weren't sure. And so this project, what they were talking about doing with very little knowledge, was traveling almost 240,000 miles, landing on the moon, getting out, getting back in, and most importantly, getting back alive. This is a pretty big project. Even today, by today's standards, you know, there's still accidents with space programs and things like that. But this is 1961, and this is to me the most incredible thing about this. They thought about this mission. They decided to do it, but they didn't have the rockets to do it. They didn't have the spacesuits to do it. They didn't have the spacecraft to do it, okay? They didn't have any of the things they needed to achieve their mission, and no one did on this planet. It didn't exist at that time. What they needed for this mission did not exist. So they got this giant mission and no way to accomplish it. But they said, it's important. We've got to do this. We've got to get to the moon, and we've got to get back. So they started the Apollo missions. And these numbers are going to be staggering. They were to me. The Apollo missions required 400,000 people to work on these projects. 400,000. There are cities that aren't that big. There were 20,000 companies working together on the Apollo missions. 400,000 people, 20,000 companies. Now, some of those companies might have had a small part in it, but it's 20,000 companies working together to get a man on the moon and bring him back. This meant they all had to work together. They all had to be focused on the same goal, not on their own self-interest, not on their company's bottom line, none of that stuff. They had to be laser-focused on this mission because lives would matter. So when Rockwell or any of the other 20,000 companies were tasked to build something that they couldn't test, by the way, hard to test a space vehicle when you're not in space. Right? You're on Earth. Things aren't the same. So they couldn't test a lot of the things that they were building for the first time. Nobody had done these things, and you couldn't test it. That's just a little scary, right? I mean, it scares me, and I'm not the astronaut getting into the thing. Right? Can you just imagine? Okay, so let me get this straight, guys. You want me to get into this little thing that we're not sure is going to work because we can't test it. You want me to go to space, hop out, hop back in, and want to get back. Yeah, no problem. That should be fine. I don't see any problems, right? So they had to do these incredible things, build something that they couldn't test. They had to be all in. There was no halfway. There was no, I think we can do it. No, they had to be all in. So when talking about testing stuff, some of the things that he had talked about, things I would never even consider. Batteries. We're not talking the batteries for your flashlight. The batteries that would power these vehicles. Back in the 60s, you know, they didn't have the batteries that we just plug in and recharge. You know, when your phone gets to, you know, if you're a teenager, if it gets to 80%, it's too low. If you're an adult, if you get to 20%, you're like, I think I can make it, right? So, they didn't have rechargeable batteries. So when they would test a battery, that battery was done. So they test it. Yay, that battery works. Too bad we can't use it. So they would order 8 times the number of batteries they needed. They would test a couple out of the batch that they had made. And they hoped if those 2 worked, surely the rest of them work. So, again, being the astronaut, so those 2 worked, huh? You don't know anything about these, but those are what's going to keep me alive, huh? Sure, sign me up, right? So that was the deal. They could not test a lot of these things. It just wasn't possible. So as a company, can you imagine putting your reputation on the line? A lot of companies wouldn't do that today, for sure. But they put their reputation on the line. The people that were manufacturing these things, that were working so hard on these things, they were putting their reputations on the line as well. So it's just an incredible thing for me to even fathom that many people and that many companies working together on one project. Before Kennedy's speech that we just watched, NASA's budget was $1 million per year. Okay? Back then, I would assume that's a lot. Within 5 years of the speech that we just watched, NASA was spending, are you ready? $1 million every 3 hours, 7 days a week. So they went from $1 million a year to $1 million every 3 hours. That's all in. That's focus. That's we're getting this done at all costs. There's nothing going to stand in our way. We're going to make this happen. So there was focus, obviously. There was an urgency. They wanted to get there. There was also a lot of compromises along the way. There was some failures. There was some folks that lost lives during these missions. But you know what? There was success as well. We all know that we made it to the moon, got them back, right? But as I listened to the Apollo story, I just thought, you know, what if the church, and I'm not talking about New Life Church, I'm talking about the church, the global church, all those that call Christ as their Savior, what if the church got that laser focused on the mission that God has given us? What if we were all in? We didn't care what people thought about us. We are all in. We're going to do the mission that God has given us no matter what. Woo! Right? What if that happened? And I was getting excited about, oh, man, that would be great if the church could do that. If the church would get so laser focused. And then all of a sudden it hit me. Who's the church? Oh, it's me. And it's you. And it's you. And it's you. It's all of us, individuals. We make up the church. We are the church. This building, you know, it's not the church. It's the building we meet in. We're the church. Oh, well, when it gets that personal, well, this is a little harder, right? When we have to be that focused on the mission that God has given us, which we'll talk about here in a second, when we have to become that laser focused, that's work. That's effort. That might change something, or it might not, depending on who you are. So what is the mission? They were getting to the moon, right? That was their goal. They kept their eye on the prize. When our gentleman came up, walked across the board, when they kept their eye on where they were going, they got there with not as much effort as when they didn't, right, when they were distracted. So what is our mission? It's pretty easy. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to us. If we didn't need to hear this, it wouldn't be in the Bible. And so, Jesus, these are his last words before he ascends into heaven, and he's saying, go and make disciples. Go and tell people about God. Go and tell people about heaven. Go tell them that there is hope. Go tell them that there is a way to have eternal life. Go do this. That is our mission. I know we've heard that before. I know it's nothing new to us, but what if we got so laser focused on that mission that nothing else mattered? I get it, we have lives, but I'm saying that's always the top priority. That's always forefront in our mind. Just like the scientists that were, you know, doing all of these things to make Apollo happen, it was probably always on their mind. What if this was always on our mind, the mission that God has given us? So it also made me ask the question, what is the church to the world? What does the world think of the church? Because if we're going to, you know, tell the world about God, and we're going to do it as the church, What do people think of us in the beginning of all this? Not that it matters, but it can kind of play into how we tell people about Christ. So what does the world think of us? I did not go out and ask the world, because that would take too long, okay? There's a lot of people, in case you didn't know. But I don't know. You can just watch the news a little bit. And I've kind of quit watching the news. It's too depressing, too discouraging, you know. But if you watch the news, you can tell right now, I think we'd all agree, there's a lot of divisiveness going on in our nation. And, you know, I'm guessing it's always been kind of there, but it's showing itself a little bit more right now. But in the news, you can watch, and a lot of times when they're talking about politics or different things, which, by the way, this is, I'm not talking politics or anything, so this is any political views, it's just an observation. It saddens me when I see Christianity or the church paired with a party or paired with a country or even a certain person, okay? Christians are often put out there by the news as a political power player or some sort of pawn. It depends on which news you're watching, right? That's not who we are. But that's kind of the vibe that is getting put out there in the world. That we, you know, we've chosen sides or something like that. And so I think the church has gotten a bad rap. And I think some of it is, it's true, we deserve it, okay? And it's probably nobody in here's fault, but we have a saying around our office, you know, may not be your fault, but it is your problem, okay? And so I hear that a lot, by the way. It's weird. I don't know why. But no, it may not be our individual fault, but it is our problem because we are the church as individuals. And so if that's the view that the world has, and I'm not saying positively that's it, but it certainly seems to come across that way, that we're somehow choosing sides, I say that that's not true, and I say that Jesus is above all of that. I say that none of that stuff really ultimately matters eternally, right? And so we have to be aware of that, and we have to be aware of that for ourselves, that even if we are not somebody who has picked a side or picked a political party or picked a person or whatever those things, because that's not what we're supposed to focus on, because Jesus is above all that, like we just said. As the church, we shouldn't focus on any of that. So here's what I think our focus should be. I think this is very clear to us on how we can achieve our mission. Matthew 22, 37 through 39 says this, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Let's read that again. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." When you look at this scripture, to get a little context of what's going on, the Sadducees, religious leaders of the time, were talking to Jesus. They're asking political questions. Well, do you pay taxes to Caesar? Do you, you know, what do you do with this? What do you do that? So they're asking political questions, kind of social issue questions. They were really hoping for Jesus to take a side, because then they're like, now we got him. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him to pick a side so that he would be alienating some side or the other, right? But he didn't do that. He didn't pick a side. He picked our focus. He picked what will get us to our mission. He kept his eyes on the end of the board. He kept his eyes on the moon. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. By the way, you'll hear this a lot. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's like, we got two things to do. Love God, love others. That's all we need to do. Ultimately, we need to focus on Jesus or on God with all of our heart. And we need to love those around us, regardless of whether they love us or not. That's what we're supposed to do. That helps us get to our mission, or complete our mission. And when we do those things, our life will naturally reflect Jesus, because we'll be so caught up in him that the mission will be just a natural response of our life. Now, to go back just a little bit, I'm not saying we shouldn't vote, because we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't voice our opinion, because we should. I'm just saying those things aren't eternal. They shouldn't be, well, if this guy doesn't get elected, then God's no longer in America. God's still here. Those things are not eternal. Are they important? Absolutely. Shouldn't be our focus. I think we'll have a greater impact on our nation and in our world if we do the two things that Jesus told us to do. love God with all our heart, love our neighbor as ourselves. Then we'll influence a lot more. We'll influence our neighbors, right? We'll influence our nation. We'll influence our community. We'll influence our workplace. We'll influence our house, our own home. So we need to focus, church, as the church, which means we need to focus as ourselves. And I'm not saying you don't, because I don't know you, but I know I have trouble focusing. I know I have trouble doing what I should do, the right things at the right time sometimes. We've got to keep that focus. So I've got one last story from Apollo, just real quick. So MIT was commissioned to write the computer programs to fly these missions. And MIT, you know, it always sounds like really smart people, which they are. And I'm like, oh, well, of course they got that right. So they wrote the code for this mission. And everyone agreed the code that they wrote would absolutely do what was asked of it. It was beautifully done. They said it was just exquisite code. I don't get that excited about computer code. But, I mean, it sounds like they were very excited. This code was excellent in every way, did everything it needed to do. But NASA comes back and says, yeah, it's awesome code, but it doesn't fit in the memory that we have. We only have so much memory, which, by the way, just for context, they said that your microwave in your kitchen has more memory than these computers did at the time. That's scary, right? So the astronaut, now let me get this straight. No. All right, so beautiful code, get the job done, doesn't fit, basically useless. It just, if we can't put it in the computers, not going to help us. And so they went back and forth for quite a while, and MIT's like, no, you know, this code is perfect. And NASA's like, but it doesn't matter. And they went back and forth and back and forth, and NASA's finally like, you know what? If it can't be done, then we can't go to the moon. And this was an important statement that was made by the guys at MIT. Oh, it's not that it can't be done. We just hate to tear this up because it's just so great. Wait, what? You know what? Sometimes we get so focused on what we think is great that we forget that it's really not helping the big picture. That we forget that, you know, maybe that's worth letting go so that we can get the mission done. See, their focus was on their own little program. Their focus wasn't on the let's get them to the moon and back. And we do that. I do that. I guess I can't speak for you. I do that. I focus on this when I should be focusing on this. And so I want to encourage you to remember that when, and I know life throws us all kinds of curveballs, health, finances, you name it, but we can still focus on the big picture. We can still focus on the mission. We are the church. We're not a political party. We're not a certain country as Christian. You know, there won't be sections in heaven, Americans over here, Russians over here, iPhone users over here, Android users over here. The iPhone section would be easier to use. But there won't be sections. I think some of us will be surprised that some of the people we see in heaven is like, he made it? I mean, I do, and I hope that that's true. But there won't be sections. We are the church. The church. We're global and eternal. And we need to get focused on, you may have heard this before, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Repetition's always good, right? We need to remember that. Those are the two things that help us get to our mission. When we do this, like I said, I guarantee it's going to show through. So whatever perception somebody has of the church out there, we get to change it by loving God and loving others. So no matter what you're doing, attending that little league ball game, going grocery shopping, getting your speeding ticket, whatever it is, all right, focus on the mission. Focus on the mission that we need to love God and love others because it will show, it will make a difference. And during those times, I'm sure it will change our attitude, it will change our words, it will change our actions, how we react in those situations. It might give our life a new kind of balance. You know, we might think that life is too busy and too hectic, and you're probably right if you think that, okay, because it can get that way. I mean, even, you know, I work at the church all week long, and I still get distracted from the mission. It's sad but true. I mean, even just getting ready for the picnic, sometimes you focus on these little bitty things and you forget the big picture, right? And so it's so important for us, even in those hectic times, even when things just seem like they're in a tailspin, focus on the mission. Love God, love others. That'll get them to heaven if we can influence them properly. Of course, they have to make that decision themselves. So what do we do? What do we do to get there? My encouragement to you today is, let's make sure we're focused on the right mission. Let's make sure that our words and actions are based on the eternal, because the eternal is what matters. Like I said, it may change a little, may not require any change to your schedule, but it will require a change of focus maybe during your schedule as you go about your day. So one last time, let's make sure we live a life that shows you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So as Kennedy kind of said, I'm going to change it a little bit, not because it's easy, but because it's why we're here. This is why we're here. This is our mission, to help others know Christ as their eternal Savior. All right? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you, first of all, for sending your son for us, that we have an opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with you. I pray, Lord, for those that either are here today or friends that we know that don't know you, I pray that they very soon will, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to stay focused on the mission. I pray that we will stay focused on really the two things that will help us achieve our mission, loving you with all our hearts and loving others as ourselves. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to keep that focus even when life is in a tailspin and things are so hectic. Help us, Lord, to do that. It's in your name I pray. Amen.